to ground it in golf, you know, what was so interesting to us at the Golfers Journal at like to go out there was this like weird marriage of high and low, because like whatever you think of Branson, which for people who have no understanding of what Branson might be, you know, it's described like I stole a line in the piece. It's like, you know, if Ned Flanders city planned Vegas, right? Like that's what it would look like.
Totally.
And, or someone told me recently on Instagram messaged me and said, it's if Cracker Barrel were a town. Which I really liked.
Yes, it's like Cracker Barrel Disneyland, kind of.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Golfers Journal podcast, presented by Titleist, the number one ball in golf. My name's Tom Coyne. Thanks so much for joining us. Today on the podcast, a conversation between two friends brought together by golf, music, and the magic that is Branson, Missouri. If you've had a chance to read number 27, and I hope you have, we sent music star Ben Rector, you know his songs, and writer Charlie Warzel, if you read TGJ, you know his stories. We sent them to Branson to discover everything that is good about golf and friendship and Dolly Parton Dinner Theater. We love the story so much, we decided to get Ben and Charlie on the podcast for a bit of a post-trip reunion to review the golf at Big Cedar Lodge and to talk about all the surprising joys of visiting Branson. And we'll get right to it after some exciting news from the Golfers Journal. The referral game is back. Big news indeed. You know the referral game. You send friends your referral code, they sign up, you get free stuff and very cool stuff right away. This year, the grand prize is a full set of Titleist sticks. All 14 clubs, total bag makeover, Titleist driver and irons, Vokey wedges, and Scotty Cameron putter, plus a free fitting for the entire set. Aside from the grand prize, I mean, if you just refer one person, you get a sleeve of Pro V1s, of Golfers Journal Pro V1s, right off the bat. So you're getting a lot here for not doing very much, which is always nice. New this year to the referral game, you can now choose between your rewards when you reach 5, 10, 25, and 50 referrals. And those rewards are all available on golfersjournal.com/referral rewards, so you can check out the different tiers and all the sort of different things to choose from. So if you're saying, oh, I already have a head cover, well, you have the opportunity to choose something else. There's also a new tier for 100 referrals, which earns you ambassador status. You get to skip the lottery line at a TGJ event of your choosing, and you also receive a special gift from the Golfers Journal. Two people have already reached it and got custom Scotties, so pretty exciting. As usual, you can find your referral link and track your progress and the leaderboard in the referral dashboard on your account at golfersjournal.com. So get entered. Our past grand winners, they know it pays to refer. And if you win that bag of Titleist, it is your chance to enjoy the magic that is the TSR driver that players across the PGA Tour are using and loving. I wouldn't give mine up for the world. The distance, the great sound that was deliberately engineered by Titleist, the trajectory. I mean, last week I was down in Florida, and I can't tell you how nice it is to take a few months off and still find my TSR is traveling as deep as ever. The space age technology in the face, it's downright hot. And as we all know, nothing looks better on the tee box than looking down at a Titleist driver. There are a few different models to choose from. I'm a TSR 4 guy, which has a slightly smaller profile, a little more old school look, but find the right TSR driver for you and schedule your fitting today at Titleist.com. Thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks, as always, for your continued support of the Golfers Journal. Now, quiet, please. Next up on the Golfers Journal podcast, Charlie Warzel and Ben Rector.
Ben, hello.
Hello, friend. Good to see you again. I just looked at our picture from Dolly Parton Stampede.
I have it over my desk, and there's something that's going on with Kojo's hat. It makes it look like he has like a high tight fade, like a 90s like New Jack City situation.
I feel like he really let loose in that picture. Like that's like the goofiest face I saw him make the whole weekend.
He really did.
And it's funny that he's immortalized like that. If someone was like, oh, like who's like the funny guy? I'd be like, I don't know. It was awesome.
I love it. It's quite a moment in time. No one can tell that we both narrowly avoided heat stroke in that moment.
That's right. Just barely. And the pair of shoes that I wore that night may never be the same.
That's true. That's true. And we'll get to that. Okay, thank you for agreeing during your busy life to recap a golf trip.
Absolutely. I honestly, as I'm looking out at the gray, this nothingness that is Nashville in February, this sounds great to remember this.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Pacific Northwest is abysmal. You need you need to be a duck out here. So I wanted to start this off with by asking you a question,
okay,
which is a bit loaded, which is why on earth did you agree? Well, I'll ground this just slightly. You and I did not know each other. I think we exchanged 10 Twitter DMs over like 2 years. So, you know, like basically a stranger. Uh-huh. Why on earth did you agree to a Twitter DM asking you to come on a golf trip to Branson, Missouri in the middle of August? Sight unseen.
Here's my honest answer. I think you caught me at a great time because I feel like I had been very busy and working a lot. And I think I started to get in this weird headspace where I'm like, what am I doing all this for if I'm not like enjoying stuff? Because I think for a long time, I'm just like, I want to do the best work I can. And like, you know, whatever. And I was in a season where I was like, I need to say yes to more fun stuff. Like I need to like prioritize like enjoyment and like experiences that I'll remember, because I feel like at first music was that for me. And it still is that in some ways, but like, I think I just felt a little out of balance. And so I think when you were like, hey, do you want to go do this thing? I felt like I had a good enough picture of who you were that I thought we would have fun. And I also was just like, I think that right now it would be right for me to be like, I'm going to say yes to an impractical kind of fun thing because I'm not always great at that. And there's a little part of me too that does love like, you know, Doug, et cetera. Like I love just like quirky, you know, when if you'd been like, do you want to come? I don't know where I would have been like, nah. Like if you'd like, do you want to come to Phoenix at a more temperate time? I'd be like, I mean, that sounds fun, but there's not the like, oh, dude, what is going to happen? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It'd have been like Phoenix in November. I'm not saying I wouldn't have gone, but I would have been like, I mean, like maybe, but I really wanted to check out those golf courses. You seemed like a really nice guy. And I was at just the perfect moment where I was like, I should say yes to this. And it, honestly, Branson just being like kind of weird and funny, I was like, that sounds incredible. And I came away from that being like, I want to go back to Branson unironically. I just like, I loved it.
So our, the editor at the Golfer Journal at the time, Travis, was trying to get me to go to Branson. And it'd been like there's just like kind of like a slate of like potential, this could be a good story list. And Branson was on there. And I just think for whatever reason, my name was sort of like circled near that. And
this so guy like kind will of like, love Branson.
I'm like hemming and hawing for a while, just like sort of like, yeah, I mean, maybe like, what if you guys send me to Pine Valley? You know, like, what about that? And so I'm like thinking about it. Then finally, I pull the trigger, say like, yeah, I want to do it. But like, you know, just one guy going to Branson for me would be sort of like little fish out of watery, you know,
having
grew up around there. But also like, I think there's like when you go to like Scotland, right? Like that's sort of like you can go on a vision quest by yourself and like find the game, right? Branson felt to me like this must be experienced with another person who you can just like do sort of like, you know, the Jim Halpert office, like, you know, side eye situation.
Oh yeah.
Just be like, what is happening? Mm. And so I sent you that message on Twitter like 5 minutes after, like, I think I hung up the phone with Travis. I was in like a Starbucks parking lot in my car. And I just like, I had this vision of like, you know, like it was such a lazy compare because it was just like, oh, who do I know who like likes to play golf and like, no, obviously generously. And then obviously like you're a great golfer, but I was like, oh, Branson, a lot of live entertainment, Ben, musician, And this will be like great. The most tenuous connection ever, almost like offensive to you in how tenuous it was. I was like, yeah, sure, he'll do it. So I hit the send on the thing. And I'm sure you've had this moment, maybe you haven't, where it's like just the wildest, like every neuron in your brain is just sending like messages where it's just like, why did you do that? Like, I was like, this, like, he's going to be so offended. And then I like went on like, you know, like social media. And I was like, I was like, this dude's like, has so much going on. Like, of course he's not going to do this. Like, you know, like, of course he's got stuff. And when you came back with the, like, I don't think this is a dumb idea at all. I was just like, we're good. Like, this is going to work. Like, there was never any anxiety in my mind about how this would work as soon as you responded quickly and excitedly. Oh, and so
I was actually glad I had gotten off of Twitter. I like wasn't on it. And one of the people that works not just on my social media, but like helps me with social media was like, hey, this guy sent you a message about going to Branson. And I was like, what? It's like, what guy? I was like, oh, I kind of know him. I was like, send me the message. But I'm glad they were on it and were just like, I don't know. I'm glad they, because I'm not on Twitter, it's not a super active platform. I think they still post stuff there, but I could imagine that they wouldn't have checked that for like weeks because they're like, I'm not communicating on like Twitter DMs a lot. So I'm glad it worked out.
Well, it's so funny too, because then obviously I would have always held this thing and been like, man, this guy's like, so aloof, right? You invite stinks. This guy to Branson and he doesn't even say anything in response.
That's what I have to quell that in myself anytime I'm like, I'm not going to be on social media as much. I'm like, some person that I kind of know is going to be like, hey, man, I'm not going to say anything.
Just reach out in a moment of need. Okay, so I'm curious, like, you have, can you tell me just a little bit, or tell, you know, the listeners here a little bit about like your relationship to Branson, because that was the other thing that I kind of lucked into, which is that you had a little bit of priors, like just enough Branson to be dangerous.
Yeah. And I think honestly that was part of the draw to me. It was like remembering how kind of like weird and kitschy it was and being like, oh, dude, that'd be a trip to go back there. And it's like, I don't know when else I'm going to be like, let's go to Branson, except after this trip, like whenever. I grew up in Tulsa. I went to, there's multiple Kanaka camps, but there's like, I went to a couple of those and then was a counselor there, like one counselor term in college. And so my main experience with Branson outside of like, you know, a kind of thing is like people's parents like pick them up from camp and usually would stay in Branson because it's close. Mm-hmm. But most of my experience was like days off from being a counselor in Branson. So I was pretty familiar with it. And then some of my college friends, I went to the University of Arkansas, which is closer to Branson than Tulsa is. And so some of my friends who went to the University of Arkansas were from Branson. And then I had a bunch of friends in college who also worked at that camp. And so like, it loomed large in my mind. I don't know. That was just like, we didn't like spend a ton of time there as a family, but it definitely like, I'm like, I know Branson, like, I'd never really done it in that way. Like when my family went, we weren't like, let's go see a show. Like I'd never seen a show. And so I think part of me was like, what would it be like to go back as a real person and be like, what's going on here? That's not just like one day in July or whatever that I have to kill as a, you know, college student or like as a 13-year-old or whatever I was when I went there.
So is this something that you, because like I have a tendency in my life to want to go to places that might not be for me, right?
And totally.
The sort of like the bad side or like the cynical side of that tendency is like, oh, I'm going ironically to like gawk at people and kind of like be like, wow, I'm glad like I'm not like this or, you know, whatever it is. Totally. And then the good side of that is like, I love sort of being that fish out of water. I like that. But do you have, I'm not saying the cynical side of that tendency, but do you have like, is that something you like to do in your life? Like, do you like to be in weird places?
For sure. And I think part of it for me, it's almost like, it's like a movie I hadn't seen since this popped in my mind, like the movie Surf Ninjas. I haven't seen that movie and I don't know how many years, I don't know how old I was when that came out, but there's part of me that's like, I bet that movie is so bad, I want to watch it again. I felt a little bit like that about Branson. I was just like, what is, like, it's still a place, what's going on there? So definitely, I feel like both of those tendencies I share with you, the kind of like a little bit like, you know, enjoying the goofiness of something that's over the top, and also kind of being like, I don't know. Yeah, like a little bit of nostalgia and just like the uncertainty of like, it's like a little bit of an adventure. It's like, I don't know what's going to happen. If you and I go to Branson, it's just like, bro, where are we going to end up? Let's do that, you know?
Well, and to ground it in golf, you know, what was so interesting to us at the Golfers Journal at like to go out there was this like weird marriage of high and low, because like whatever you think of Branson, which for people who have no understanding of what Branson might be, you know, it's described like, I stole a line in the piece, it's like, you know, if Ned Flanders city planned Vegas, right? Like that's what it would look like.
Totally.
And or someone told me recently on Instagram, messaged me and said, it's if Cracker Barrel were a town. Which I really liked.
Yes, it's like Cracker Barrel Disneyland kind of.
Yeah. And so there's this like, you know, it's a weird place. Like I think now that I've been there, I think like people from Branson would also probably tell you it's a weird place, right?
Totally.
Like I think they're aware that this is like, it's like if you are in Colonial Williamsburg, you wouldn't be like, what, dude? This is just New York City. Like it's fine. So there's that element, and then there's this weird, you know, Big Cedar Lodge has this like higher concept golf, and you have like Core Crenshaw coming out and like, you know, doing their thing and sort of like, you know, in the you know, modern linksy American style, high end. You've got Tiger, you know, coming out with Payne's Valley, and so it's like even the high concept courses there have a little bit of Branson in them.
Totally.
Which is like, you know, the theme park, the Cracker Barrel town situation. And so this idea of like the marriage of that was something that like I also find I'm just like naturally I gravitate towards, right? I'm like, why is this here? I need to see if I can reverse engineer why that is, or why it works, or why it doesn't work.
Yeah, and I think in that way, it's like I don't know if interesting is the right word. It is a very unique combination, because I think if you were like, have you heard about Rodeo Dunes, the new Bandon project? It's like, I want to go there unabashedly, sounds cool, but it's like, I get it. I'm not like, what the heck is this? It's like, yeah. I know what this is. And I feel like the weird mashup that you're talking about, I feel like I didn't mention that in the draw, but like, I really did want to check the golf out, because for the same reasons you're saying, because I'm just like, it looks like it's really good. But also with this, you know, all this stuff around it that just doesn't, like, I cannot think of a comp. I can't think of anything like it. I don't know if someone was like, what's this like? I'd be like, I don't know how to tell you what it's like. And that's why I was like, I just got to see this. In a different way than like, you know, Sand Valley. I haven't been there, but it's like, I get it and it'll be awesome. But it's like, there's no like, what the heck is this? It's like, I can tell you what it is. It's like a nice guy's trip and it's like great golf and probably like good food and drinks. Branson, I'm just like, bro, I don't know what this is, you know?
So so we agree to go. We have planned to not plan a trip other than, you know, a couple of things, but it's more sort of like, we'll take it as it comes, other than the golf. We choose to go there on the three hottest days that have ever happened.
I mean, I wish I could explain how much that's not an exaggeration. Like when the picture of the heat dome on like whatever news site, the like white part was over where we were. It was like America with like a white bullseye and then like emanating like purple, yellow, orange, red. And we were the white part.
It was honestly, yeah.
Unbelievably hot.
It was like, weather forecast, it's like you're in trouble.
Oh, dude, it was unironically dangerous. I remember being like, I don't know. This is before the woman passed away from drinking like too much water too fast, I think. But I was like, I remember trying to do math of like, how much electrolytes can I drink? Like, at what point is my body like rejecting this? I don't know. It was wild.
I have not really experienced that in a very long time. Like I've moved out to the Pacific Northwest and it is it's temperate as hell out here, you know? And it's just, so it's like, I have, not only do I, like, I don't know humidity very much anymore. I'm very rarely in spots where I'm humid. And this was like,
oh,
this is air you could chew. This was like air that was itself its own ecosystem.
Like a warm, yeasty roll of air, just like dense.
Dense. So, as we're like, I want to talk a little bit about, like, I think the theme of the trip that we've kind of had this discussion before, like in Branson, we haven't talked about it since, but like, I think a theme of the trip ended up being that, like, you go someplace sort of ironically, or, you know, at least with that, like, that tinge of it, and you kind of come away having like someone rubbed a magnet over like your taste compass, right?
Totally.
Where it's like all these things that you thought were going to be a certain way were that, but then there's a way that you kind of come out of it really appreciating that. And I want you to just start this off. I want you to talk a little bit about Doug Gabriel, your process, your research process into how Doug came into your life, the way that he made you feel prior, and then we can get to when we actually show up and see Doug Gabriel in the flesh.
Sure.
Who is Doug Gabriel? How did you find him?
Well, a big part of Branson that I'd never experienced was like all the shows. And for people that don't know, it's like the same as Las Vegas shows, the same like type of thing where it's like, come see Donny Osmond, sing the hits. But it's like it's more Branson specific stuff. And I had seen the billboards driving around there and I'd always been like, man, what is that about? And so in my head, I was like, I wanted to see like a show because I was just like, we came all this way. I cannot imagine what that is like. And I was doing some research on the shows and I came across Doug Gabriel and went to his website. And it was the perfect mix of high and low because I was like, this is like pretty well put together, but it's also like Doug Gabriel is he's like a singer and that's it. It's just like, come watch me do my show. And he like couple of his kids are in the show. And I was just like, I have to see this because it is a real thing. And I could tell he was like a talented guy, but I was really curious about what is this going to look like in person? Or like, is it a bunch of people coming? He does like a lot of morning shows. Just the whole concept, I did not understand at all. And the more I like dug into it and I watched like a bunch of local TV spots, it was like, you know, there's not a ton of Doug Gabriels in Branson, Missouri. And so like, if you look, you can find him on local TV a lot. And I was like, he actually seems like a really nice guy. And so the more I looked at it, I was just like, that was like the microcosm of Branson all wrapped up in that. I was just like, I have to see this. And I couldn't tell where you were going to be at with it, but I was just like, I don't know. I was like, I think we should go see Doug because it is such a mystery to me. I was worried it was like, it's going to be bad. Yeah. Like it's going to be like really hard to watch. And I'm just going to be like, oh my gosh, that was my fear. Just like not having seen it, not knowing what it was going to be like.
You definitely like, I could tell as we made the decision to go see Doug, you got a little quieter in the car.
100%. I was worried that I had brought us to this thing and that it was going to be bad and I was going to feel bad. Not for our time, but that like we were going to go watch something and be like, that was rough. And it's like, and I made us go here. And this was, I think as a performer, I learned like early on when I was like playing, you know, wherever in college and you're trying to get people to pay attention to you, everyone will pay attention to risk of failure. Like if they're like, no one's paying attention and you introduce the possibility that you're going to look like an idiot, everybody shuts up. And so it's the same. That's what drew me to Doug Gabriel. It's like, I got to see this guy do the high dive. Is he going to like land it? And then I was worried he wasn't going to land it. And I was like, this is going to be bad. And I feel bad about that.
And Doug is, for anyone listening, I mean, first, just if you're by a computer, go Google him because it's just aesthetically very worth it. Like his son has a haircut that I can only describe as like he's wearing his hair in like a dunce cap. Like it is just
it's a mohawk, but best estimate of the height of the mohawk. What do you think? 5 inches, 6 inches?
If not more. I mean,
maybe more.
T- topping out probably around 10. Yeah. he, you know, he does sort of like, he'll do sort of his Elvis set. He's kind of got the Elvis-y Johnny Cash, but, you know, a little more Bible Belt-y vibe. Mm-hmm. And these shows like are, he's doing multiple a day. He's been doing it for very, very long time, like a very long time. Long enough that you'd think maybe the juice would be gone, and like yes. is doing this the thing that I still can't get over is like the 9:30 or 10. I think we saw maybe like a 10 o'clock show, maybe 9:30. Like that is just a ridiculous time to perform like
truly wild
face melting guitar solos. It's just the weirdest, like it's so odd. So we pull up to the place and I, you know, you're asking where my head is at. I feel very similarly to you in that, like, I really hope this doesn't suck. Yeah. And I was just so worried we were going to pull up to a place that's just desolate, right? Cars.
That's on the way there, my excitement went to like, not, this is not going to be good. Because like, if no one's there, I can't handle this. I cannot handle this for Doug, for us. I can't do it.
And so this is where sort of the theme of the trip kicks in, which is we get there and there are plenty of people. There are tour buses, way full more of elderly people
than I ever would have imagined. I was like, who are these people?
And so you have this immediate thing where it's like, for me, I felt like, first of all, unbelievable relief. But then this sort of thing of like, man, of course, like my coastal elite ass has decided that like this guy doesn't know what he's doing when he has like a successful business for decades doing this thing. Like, and of course I
felt the same way. I was like, yeah, I was like, why would I have assumed that some, just like anywhere else, like if something is not good, usually it doesn't continue to function. And it's just like, yeah, dude, like he's super good. It's like the whole thing. And I don't mean to steal your thunder, it's just like way better than it needed to be. And for people that they're not even going to know about that. They'd be fine if it was worse.
Exactly. So the moment, so we get there, he starts, it's unexpectedly whips. And there's a moment that I put in the piece where I like look over to just sort of like give you like the big eyes of like, what the hell? and you're like buried in your phone on an app. That is, I believe, I don't think I asked you specifically about the app, but like it measures decibel levels, right?
Yeah, I have two different ones. Sometimes different venues have like decibel like restrictions, mm-hmm. especially outdoor venues, because like they don't want, you know, if there's like houses in a mile away or whatever. And so at different settings, and if I'm at a concert, I like to know, like, it's like, oh, like this is what 95 dB is like. This is what 100 dB is like. I'll just check that out sometimes. And I remember the sound was great. The mix was great. The like mix choices were great. And I remember being like, this is like kind of loud. I was like, if you'd asked me how loud I thought it would be, I'd be like not loud. And it was not like, this is too loud, but I was like, this is like a concert. Like we're at a real live concert. It was in the 90 decibel range, I think, like maybe 95. I was like, yeah, we're doing it, man.
It was not a Guitar Center demo. Which
no.
is what I was thinking going in. And so there's a moment there. And again, for people who are wondering why we're just talking about this guy for like 10 minutes, the point of it is there's a moment during this, like this Elvis montage, and he is going through and doing a bunch of the songs faithfully in his own way. And then there was something that you had noticed with like a setting on his vocals that kind of took your appreciation of Doug and maybe Branson Dinner Theater or Breakfast Theater to another level.
All of the way through, I'm noticing like the players and like, you know, the mix and stuff, of course, because that's what I do. And there's like subtle changes, but it's like just a great mix. I'm like, wow, this is like really good. And then when we got to the Elvis part, they changed, you know, he had like, and some of the choruses, maybe like a little bit of delay, but like just a nice reverb. I was like, okay, cool. When they did the Elvis thing, they changed it to like a really strong slap delay, which is like an effect that they use. I mean, they still use it. They use it in a lot of stuff, but that's like that era of music. It was very popular. And it's basically like delay. It would be like slap delay is like, and so you can, You can hear that in a lot of recordings. They use it on vocals a lot. And I was just like really impressed that they were like, we're going to do this period correct. And we're going to use the effects that he would have used and stuff like that. It's like, that's not a big thing, but absolutely no one in the audience would have been like, I don't think Elvis would have used a large hall verb. I don't know that, you know, don't know that they had that tech back then. That's not whatever. Everyone would have been just fine if they hadn't chosen to like make scenes in the mixes for the songs. But they're like, we're doing this, man. Like, look, we came all this way. Let's do it like right. And I was just really impressed. There was other examples of that, but that was the easiest to remember one where I was just mm-hmm. like, man, like everybody is like totally bringing their A game. And it is. It's like, it's a sick production. I was just really impressed.
And that to me. So first of all, in that moment, we're in the car after you're telling me about the slap delay. And I have this like smug self-satisfaction. I'm like, I brought the best guy possible on this trip, right? Like the guy who can tell me about the slap delay. Like, like as a reporter, I'm just like, I'm thinking to myself, like, what a great marriage of golf partner. But it speaks to like the craft of it, right? And this mm-hmm. idea, I think, of you go someplace and you're expecting something to be a certain way, and you're just like, it's not only like pleasantly surprised, but it's just like widens the aperture of I think if we didn't see Doug on our first day, the whole tenor of the trip changes, because you don't have that sort of realization of, wow, stuff is still good here. And it's like, even if it's self-aware to be kitschy or whatnot, like the quality of what is being presented in front of you is really good and knows what it is.
It's almost like the like a gymnastics routine or something, where it's like they can be getting a 10 out of 10 doing a different routine than you're used to seeing. I'm used to grading everything by like the routine that I like to do. And it's like, nah, dude, like Doug doing Doug 10. Excellent work. And I agree with you. It's like that sort of was like the thesis for the rest of the experience, where it's like, hey man, like I don't know if I would have picked this exact thing, but it's really done well. And I think it's easy to blend those things up too much, where it's like, this isn't a style that I would have done, so it's not good. It's like, no, it's like not a style I would have done, but it's done incredibly well, you know.
And so, you know, like right after that, we get in the car, we drive to our very poorly scheduled 12:30 tea time at Ozarks National.
There's like not another I think there's like another person that we saw. I was like, everyone else was like, why are you doing this?
The guy just like, I checked in at the place and everyone there, like Big Cedar, lovely people, like so nice, so
really great.
So helpful. Like,
really great.
Not, this is not a knock on them, but the guy just looks at me and smirks and he's like, the range is all yours, you know.
Yeah,
it's no, just like we're gonna die out here, aren't we?
We're
like,
gonna go pound balls. I mean, I think the actual temp was high, like 10 whatever, right? And the index was like high teens, I think.
Yes,
it could be wrong, but that's weather that like there anywhere else, people are like, I'm gonna sit this one out for a second. Not us.
Yeah, I was straight up like, I walked to the range to hit a couple of balls. And was like, oh, like I'm perspiring slightly.
Yeah.
I hit 3 wedges and I was just Michael Jordan fourth quarter, just, you know, like hands on knees. It was nuts. We got the pro there, Landon, took us around, inexplicably chooses to wear, I think he had to, but he was wearing navy pants. And did not break a sweat.
Yeah,
did not break a sweat, really. Yeah. I mean, like he was wearing a shirt where you would be able to tell if mm-hmm. he was sweating, and mm-hmm. there was nothing. I sweat so much that Kojo met us on like the fourth hole, I think, and he saw me and he looked at me and he goes, I don't think I can take a picture of you because you're so sweaty. It's going to like scare people.
Yeah.
So that was it. So, that's a little grounding there. I knew you were a good golfer. I'm not trying to blow smoke here, but like you,
I'm going to put you on mute for a second.
I don't know how you played as well as you did. Were you surprised by your level of play? Is this sort of like, do you normally go to places in extreme conditions? Like, here's a better question. Are you someone who, if the conditions are kind of extreme, you rise to the occasion in your golf game?
Sometimes I am like that. Not all the time, but I feel like some of my favorite rounds have been, I played a round by the ocean one time and it was like blowing like 25 and I played like really good. I played better than I thought I would, but I wasn't like, I've never played like this. Definitely thought I would get more. I thought I would like fall apart more just physically. I thought I'd just be like, I just can't like concentrate or do this anymore. But I was locked on the course, man. I was like, let's do this.
So Ozark National, Core Crenshaw, beautiful course. Those are the types of golf courses that I like the, mm-hmm. the big kind of bold American style yep. links, you know, sort of like infinity vistas. It's up there on this ridge, like wide, fun fairways where the ball just, you know, starts rolling. What was your impression of, and we can just kind of lump for the sake of this, like lumping in Payne's Valley as well, which is, mm-hmm. which is different, but also very like kind of starts on the top of a hill and like, you know, the whole thing is sort of gently downhill for like 13 holes,
which is such a good magic trick, by the way. It's not downhill enough that you really can tell until you look back at the other holes. You're like, wow, that's like way higher than we are now.
Yes. And the ball was also flying, you know, roughly 450 yards, you know, looked at it.
In the heat, it was just like, I felt like I was going to break the golf ball. Everyone was just like melting it. I think my takeaway from the golf, and I feel like even now, especially because I feel like, you know, golf snob people are probably like, yeah, whatever. I really liked it. I thought it was really cool. And I think that if you drop those holes in other places, I do think I like Ozarks National a little better than Payne's, but Payne's was so fun. Like, if you were like, hey, I got a tee time for us right now, you can snap your fingers and be there, I'd be like, I would love that. But I think Ozarks National was like, it was cooler than I thought it would be. Like the vibe, the aesthetic, and I think the design, I was like, this is awesome. This is like a sick course. I felt the same as you. Like, I like a lot of different styles of golf. And I don't know that I would put that style as like, this is my favorite, the like new big course. That's probably not like my favorite style, but I was like, it was just very enjoyable. It was like challenging. It was well thought out. It was grand, but not in a kitschy, weird way. It was like, yeah, like this is the golf course someone should have built here. And it's wild that they did, but I really liked it. Like I unironically came back, my golf friends that knew I was going, they're like, how was it? I was like, I want to go back. Like if you were like next fall, let's bring people and go, I'd be like, I'd love that. I thought it was like a great setup and really fun.
Yeah. I was actually like a little bit upset. Like my plan going in was, the resort was really nice, offering us, you know, the ability to go and play when we wanted to play to some degree. Like we had this sort of, we could have had it like a playground, you know, and it was so freaking hot that it was like, you just literally couldn't play more than 18 holes. Like 18 holes was the safe max. And even then slightly unsafe.
Oh, I do agree. Cause I was a little bit too, I was like, oh man, we could just like lap this thing around. And I feel like second nine of every time we played, I was just like, I did feel actual danger. Like I remember there, I was Googling on my phone because there was a point in the first round where I stopped sweating. And I was like, I think I remember that's like heat stroke vibe. Cause I remember like you kept being like, man, I'm so sweaty. And I was like, I looked at my shirt and I was like, I'm not that sweaty, which doesn't feel like it's supposed to be happening. But yeah, so I agree with you. It would have been awesome if it was like a normal amount of degrees for Branson to be like, dude, let's just like run it back. But I feel like we were just like, got to get inside, need to be okay.
And, you know, I always find this about myself. I'm relatively new to golf, you know, like grew up sort of around it a lot, but relatively new to like playing a lot of golf as like an adult who has the ability to like go places and check out new stuff. And yeah. And so like I sometimes feel that, you know, I like my tastes are like I don't have a sophisticated palate, I guess is like what I would say with it, right? Like I go to some places, I'm like, that was sick, and then people are like, here's 10 reasons why people that wasn't like, sick.
It's not sick. Yeah, the very classic every subculture. Like
yes,
like, you like was, whiskey, it's like that whiskey stinks.
Yeah, exactly. And like that was my vibe when I was telling people I was going to Branson in the golf world, who were sort of like, ah, yeah, I mean, you know, like if Tiger Woods didn't put his name on that course, no one would care.
Right.
Or just sort of like I think there were a number of people who I talked to who sort of were letting the vibe of Branson bleed into that, those courses. Right. And totally. We're like, oh yeah. But like, I've never heard anyone say like super negative things about like a Cork Renshaw course. Right. Like people totally. Are usually like, oh, these are sick. And I came up against a little of that. And I think the two of us were just, I mean, you've articulated really well, but it's like, I was like, I'm not seeing this. Like, I'm just not seeing how this isn't enjoyable. And I think you said something the night after we were sort of like reflecting on all this that has stayed with me since, which is like, it was fun. And like fun is not a bad word. Like fun is a destination that lots of people are trying to achieve. And like fun should be celebrated as much as like great bunkering, right?
Totally. And it's hard. Like I think everyone assumes that like fun is easy. It's like, well, yeah, it's like, it's not. It's like, it's actually very hard to make something that's great and fun. And I think even saying that, I feel like I'm still doing a disservice. Like I'm like taking it out of the good golf category. Yep. I would say I have not been every place, but I've traveled a lot for golf. I feel okay like saying like, this is what I like. This is what I don't. I think this is like as good a course as like, you know, some, I don't fill in the blank, like golf nerd place. I don't know how to compare them, but I feel fine being like, it was very, very good. And I would say that to anybody who's a member of any place who thinks they know everything about it, I'd be like, it was great, man. And I think like, I was thinking this while you're saying that, I played at a golf, like a PGA event. I played music and then played in the pro-am thing. It was in Mexico and it was at a place that had like a Nobu. There was a Nobu hotel and we played at the Nobu.
They have a hotel?
Yeah. I didn't know that. They have one. They have a couple. And so I've been to a couple Nobus. And I'm like, well, this isn't going to be like Nobu. It's like, they probably like let them build the hotel and it's like, whatever, but no way it's going to be as good as the one in, you know, wherever. Mm-hmm. So we get there and I got there the day before and I, of course, I was like, I'm going to go eat the sushi because I like sushi a lot. And I'm thinking like, but it's not going to be like Nobu sushi. Dude, it was like as good as any Nobu I've ever had. And I was like, we are in the middle of like the rocky desert next to the ocean where there shouldn't be anything. I think that's the way it feels. People are like, yeah, it's Cork Renshaw, but it's not like a real Cork Renshaw. I'm like, it totally is. It is. It's Nobu, as good as Nobu is. That's what it is.
And I should segue to say that I probably, if Nobu opened in Branson, I wouldn't do it though.
It'd be tough.
I would be real. But like, but as I, much as I feel like it. I've learned, as much as I feel like I've learned, I don't know, man. Like, sushi's not why I'm going to Branson.
I know, but I just want to trust that if great people are like, hey, yeah, this is my thing, that it's like it is that good. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I think that like I part of what I like tried to get at in writing this piece, but so much of it really just came from being there with you and like and sharing that experience is this idea of like things being better than they have the right to be, and this idea of like appreciating things on their own terms, sort of kind of taking something that you know might not normally like and just being really open to it, and then realizing that like a lot of your misconceptions or a lot of your preconceptions of something often are just, I don't know. It's just like it's a filter you see the world with, and it's changing things up. And so like I left feeling really kind of like discombobulated, like just generally, and also sort of feeling like there was something more to this, right? Like there was something a little bit bigger. And maybe it was because like it was just the two of us. It wasn't like there were 18 guys. Yep. Maybe it was because, you know, you're sort of doing this for work adjacent, you know, kind of stuff. But I feel there was like a kind of, I don't know, an intellectual awakening of a sort where I was like, oh man, where else in my life am I doing this? Right. Like where else in my life am I taking something and just being like, ha, yeah, whatever. Like not for me when maybe it's sick.
Totally. And I think that I also feel like when you said that, it made me think too, like I felt a little bit like that too. And not that anyone's going to care what I think about those golf courses, but I was like, oh, like I'm going to have to like vouch for these courses to be like, they're sick. And I know a lot of people who are like super golfy are going to be like, you must be an idiot. And I'm going to be like, maybe you think that, but it was pretty sick. But I think like so much of our tastes are shaped by that. It's just like, you know, I don't know, like whatever thing you're into, usually there's like some culture around it that's like, well, like here's kind of how we keep the noobs out. Like you don't like the obvious stuff because anybody can like that. You like the weird stuff. And it's like, this is an obvious thing that's like pretty good. And I think I felt weird being like, I have to know that now. And when someone's like, yo, dude, how was the Branson courses? I have to be like, absolutely sick, totally sick. And I watch the wheels turn in their mind and be like, I guess you don't know what you're talking about. And you'd be like, I just got to live with it. It's gonna be like, yeah, man, it was awesome.
I feel like I just left with someone replenished like the, you know, the earnestness inside of me, like the natural resource of earnestness where I'm just like, oh yeah, no. And like, I really feel like ever since I've tried, and I know this is a ridiculous thing to say, and I'm not just saying this because like we're on a podcast talking about this, but I try to like keep a little of that with me with certain stuff where I'm just like, and maybe this is also just like every year you get older, you care a little bit less, right? About like that whole thing of like, what do I need to sort of say right here to look smart with this group? Or like, what's the passcode to sort of, you know, respect here?
100%.
But like, I sort of, that experience was very like formidable there for me that I have noticed that in my entire life of trying to just be like, no, I'm just going to say like what I think about this. And like, this is cool. Or like, I'm a person. Cause I came home and I was like, am I really a person who like likes Branson? Because like
Branson? Yeah.
Because like there's stuff, right?
Totally.
Like, 100%. There's stuff that's a little problematic sometimes about Branson or like whatever. Right. And it's like, and people can kind of like code you a certain way based off of that. And I was like, you know what, man? I had a really good time, like with a person who I got to know, and like that was, I don't know. I feel like I'm just saying the same thing, but it's like it is sort of revelatory, I think, when you experience it. And I don't think you get that when you go to like just using as an example, like we're going to Bandon Dunes, right? And it's like we know it's gonna like what you said, we know it's gonna be sick.
Totally.
We know it's going to be good. We're going to have a great time. Everyone's going to come away with like sick pictures and rank the courses.
If you're into like collecting golf courses and being able to be like, I've been here and there, it's like total, you know, notch in your belt, very cool place, you know, probably best public, whatever. There is no, it's like, it's going to be awesome. And it is awesome and thumbs up. But yeah, this is definitely like it's like, oh, a bit of an interesting notch in the belt. And you're like, yeah, it's great.
Another thing I noticed here is how hard it is to unironically take a golf trip. To ironically take a golf trip. Like how hard it is to ironically take a golf trip, because like golf is a sport that is like cards on the table. I drove the ball very well for me that week, and I hosel rocketed like every iron that you put in my hands. Like it was not a great golf performance from me. But like golf as a sport is just so humbling, regardless. Mm. Like I didn't really think about it this way, but it's like, it's really hard to go and do that ironically. because like it just kind of demands of you.
Yeah,
you know,
you have to really be trying. You have to like, there is no like, check out this dumb shot. It's like, I'm doing my very best, man. I'm trying my hardest at this.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so I it's something I didn't really sort of clock about the sport. And the thing that I just like that I love about it, right? Which is just that it forces you into that position where like you have to like give a lot, and you also have to be willing. Like, I've made a lot of friends, I think you included, in going to on trips with people or just even playing rounds of golf with people. And it's like an accelerant, I think, in a lot of relationships, because it's like, hey, Ben, can you like hold my, you know, water while I absolutely embarrass myself and look like I've never held a golf club before?
And it's you would never self-select into that kind of like vulnerability very often with other people. You'd never be like, hey, like I'm going to earnestly try to do a good job and a cool thing, and it might not work out for me. And then there's no like playing it off and be like, I meant to hit a zany shot. It's like, no, man, like that was me doing my best and it didn't go very good. That's like, you self-select out of that situation every time you can as an adult. You're never like, want to see my cool dance moves, and then they're not cool. It's like, you're like, I just don't dance. You know what I mean?
Right. And that, so the, one of the last sort of things I wanted to just bring in was the experience of going to Dolly Parton Stampede, which for anyone who's unaware is like this amphitheater show that you might imagine it's dinner theater. Like you get to eat. The audience is split into a north and south side of the auditorium. It used to be a lot more uncomfortably Civil War themed than it is now. Dolly has moved beyond that. But it's like, it's an experience that everyone says you go there, you got to see it. It's this whole sort of reenactment of the history of like the West and the, you know, frontier. And there's a lot of competitions, and it turns out that it's like extremely well done.
I forgot all about that part of the show until you said it, and I was just like, also the main thing I remember outside of the actual like stunts and stuff, I was like, these people are beautiful. Like,
yeah,
actual, I don't know, I was kind of like, do you need to be doing a flip on a horse? Like, you could just like post pictures of yourself on Instagram being like, I'm a cool looking guy or girl, and be like, yeah, like you're doing it. I was blown away.
Well, I also noticed that like we talked to a few people, you know, like we were getting some at the gift shop, and like the person at the gift shop was just like, yeah, you know, like I've grown up, like I always kind of, this is where I wanted to, like I wanted to be a part of this, right? Like I saw it and I moved out here like just to like work in the gift shop so then I can like work my way up into this thing, because like this is an institution. Like,
yeah,
I'm
totally
in on this.
Yeah. And they are. That someone now told me, it's like Disney adjacent. They'd be like, I work at Disney. And I'd be like, I work at Dolly Parton Stampede. I'd be like, sick.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
And so, you know, like speaking a little bit to like the vulnerability, putting yourself in vulnerable situations, and what, like what this experience of going to this weird place and having all these things be like better than we thought they were going to be, it like instills in this into you, like the headline of the piece is just say yes. And it like, we got asked sort of, I don't know, like a quarter of the way through, we're just like sitting down eating our like perfectly cooked, you know, Cornish game hens.
The chicken was so good.
It was extremely good. And someone comes up and is like, hey, we're doing these like games where we have different people compete, go down into like the rodeo pit. And again, there's like, I think it wasn't like a totally full house the night we were there. It was pretty full. But like it can seat, I think, like 1,500 people or something like
that.
Yeah, like,
probably. It's big. I was trying to do the math while we were there.
And so they asked, like, would you two people come down and like be a part of this? And in every situation in my life, other than this one, I would say no. I'm just curious. First, are you someone who would say yes normally in that situation? Or would you be like, oh, thank you so much, I appreciate it, and I'm going to sit here?
My honest answer is before I did, when I was like a kid, I would have been like, yes, I'll do it. And since I've done my job, I self-select out of those situations. I'd be like, no, I'm good. Like, I'm not trying to be, I just want to eat this chicken and you guys go nuts. To be fair, I feel like they asked first and we weren't like, let's do it. We were like, oh, okay. Like, I think we were both like, are we really doing this? And then they came back and gently asked again. And I think we both were like, I mean, we came all this way. We're not going to not do this.
And then, so you won. You were like the anchor.
Well, we won.
But you had to do, I ran one time. I think you had to like.
I did. I ran a lot and I had open toed shoes on. And I thought this is the best part. It's like blast from the past. I feel like any other place they'd be like, sign a waiver, check your shoes. They're going to get messed up. Are you sure? And Dolly Parton Stampede's just like, jump in, man. You're going to have a great time. I'm just like, I'm feeling like it's such deep dirt and it's so like weird and soft. I mean, truly, those shoes still have remnants of that on them. I have the foam Birkenstocks, still got little pieces of Dolly Parton Stampede that I don't know if they're ever going to come off.
Well, and there's like horse manure. Yeah. I mean,
you're telling me there's not like one piece of sharp something in there? It's like, there's gotta be. I mean, probably not. Honestly, for the horses, probably not. But I just love that they were like, jump on in here. Here's the deal. And I was like, wow, we are doing this.
Yeah. They're just a sweaty rodeo clown just like comes and talks to you. It's like, you're going to do this. Just do it. Okay. And go. And they push you and you're just like bright lights. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, that was exactly it. I was surprised that they were just like, and now you can do this. I was like, wow. Okay.
They knew you're a performer.
They could tell.
Yeah. So I mean, that I think that like the reason why I wanted to bring that up is A, go see if you go to Branson, go to Dolly Parton Stampede because it's
please do.
I legitimately thought again it was going to be like a relatively like sad display. There are legitimately people like standing on two horses that are riding at this, like straddling two horses as they sprint and then diving through like hoops of fire
going. And it's like, I don't know. I can't overstate how impressed I was. I'd say that. Cause I think even if I heard that description, I'd be like, yeah, yeah, I've probably seen something like that. It's like, you haven't, I don't think you have. I walked away from it very impressed. I would see it again.
So I'm going to kind of just like try to, you know, bring us in for the landing here, but okay. You know what, like I think this to me was like this trip made it really like it hit home for me, just like how I've had this like entry into golf that has always been just like better than I expect, than like other things in my life that I get like interested and excited about. Like there's something about just like hang around this sport and the opportunities that it tends to just like afford me, where it's just like it's sort of like better and deeper than I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. And this trip is like just a really excellent example of that. But I, first of all, will you go on another golf trip? Can we do this again somewhere?
Yes,
in the world?
100%. Sorry, your face froze when you said that, and I thought you were just like. In your life, and I was like,
crying.
I thought you're like, will you go on another golf trip, like as a pastime? And I was like, I think I will, but I thought you meant, but with the two of us, 100%, it was great. I would absolutely do it again.
What do you think? Where would you like?
I mean, not, where can hold a
not
candle
that we're planning
to Branson?
It, but like, what is something like? What is something that is, you know, doesn't even have to be similar, but what is something that like, you know,
that's I feel like that's the beauty of Branson. I would go to like, you know, a place that is not, I mean, nowhere is exactly like that. I don't know. It's going to be tough for any place to hold a candle to Branson. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah.
But I would absolutely go to another fascinating place. I think for the same reasons that you're talking about. I had a great time just generally, but I also think it's like good for your like soul to be like, wow, I'm out of my zone here and what's about to happen. And then it's like pretty sick. Even the stuff that's like kind of goofy or like, that's still pretty rad.
I agree. Ben, thank you for you know, responding to my message. Thank you for agreeing to do this, and thank you for being like game to like actually interrogate it with, you know, like there's a lot of people just in life who don't have that same kind of like I'm in kind of thing. And I think that like that's what you got to do. But I don't know, like my parting words are like, if you have a chance to go to Brandt's,
choked up over it, man. Wow.
if you have a chance to go to Brandt's, and just like do it, like just do it.
100%. I would say that's the magic of Branson. It's like, I don't know exactly what it's going to be like for you. You may have the greatest time like we did. You might be like, this was kind of weird, but you should absolutely go. It's so great.
Awesome. Thanks, Ben. I appreciate this.
It's great.
Thanks for listening, everyone. And if you enjoyed this episode, we strongly encourage you to become a member of the Golfer's Journal, or if you already are, to share it with your friends. As a reader-supported publication, we couldn't do it without you. We also couldn't do it without the help of our partners, and they are Titleist, Scotty Cameron, FootJoy, Linksoul, Omega, Charles Schwab, and BMW. We'll see you next time on the Golfer's Journal podcast.